First Corinthians chapter 1. From the earlier part, of course, of this chapter, you will discover, the earlier verses of this chapter, you will discover that there was division along party lines in the church at Corinth. Some favoured, according to verse 12, Paul. Some favoured the personality of Apollos. Some favoured Peter, or Cephas as he's called. And then others said, oh, we're not like that at all. We favour Christ. So there's a lot of division there, and no doubt times of squabbling as well. And verse 13, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, we know already from this morning's message, I should know what the gospel is. So that doesn't require too much explanation. But here he implies something. When he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, that means that you can preach the gospel without preaching baptism. You can preach the gospel without preaching the sacraments of the church, whether it's baptism or the Lord's Supper. It's just that he refers to baptism specifically here. You can preach the gospel without preaching baptism. And that's an important thing to say. Because you see, there are some who can hardly stand in the pulpit without mentioning the sacrament at some time, whether it's the one that we're blessed with this morning or whether it's baptism that Paul mentions here. Some people have such a hang up upon the mode of baptism or the age in which people are baptized and then enter into such great controversies over that, and are in such continued controversies indeed over it, that they speak more often about baptism than they do about the cross. But look, you can and you should and you must preach the gospel without preaching baptism, without preaching the sacraments. He goes on to say the preaching of the cross in verse 18 is the power of God. In other words, it's the cross itself. Baptism is not part of the saving message of the gospel, nor can it be in any way included in this expression, the power of God. There's no power in the water. There's no power in the ordinance itself. There's no power in anything that the minister says. There's nothing special about the ordinance. There's no special dynamic that purges out original sin or anything like that. Not a bit of it. Baptism is not part of the saving message of the gospel. If it was, then all the Old Testament saints would have been in hell years ago. But you read Hebrews chapter 11 and it tells you that they're in heaven by faith. None of them were baptized, but they're in heaven by faith. And it's the same for the New Testament age as well. The cross is the power of God, not baptism. The cross is the power of God, not the bread before us on the Lord's table, not the cup before us on the Lord's table. Those are merely symbols, and indeed passing symbols of something which is powerful and unchangeable. But there's no power in the symbol itself. There's no power in taking the bread. There's no power in drinking the cup. There's no power in anything of that. It may give a person a fair show in the flesh, but that's about all. But it contributes nothing towards our salvation. In baptism, you can be wetter but no better. In this ordinance as well that we're enjoying today, the Lord's Supper, it's the same. It's powerless to save. We're not here because we think that there's something peculiarly dynamic about the bread and wine. We're not here for that. But what it represents is mighty. The cross, he says, is the power of God. I mentioned earlier this morning Romans 1:16. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. But it wouldn't be the power of God apart from the cross, and it wouldn't be the power of God apart from the blood of Jesus. It's not enough just to say that Jesus died, you know. You have to mention the blood itself. That's true. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says, God's Son cleanseth us from all sin. So let's strip away any misunderstandings and any ignorance that we have of the gospel today. And let's remember that as we sit at the Lord's table, these things are only bread and only wine. That's all that they are. But what they point towards is most precious indeed. Is Jesus precious to you? The church is precious to you. The fellowship, the social aspect of our gathering, I'm sure it's precious to all of us. But is Jesus, as a living person, the Son of God and His precious blood, is He precious to you? Well, if He is, then no doubt you have a warm welcome from His heart today as you sit here.